We did a little routine today at the ticket holders luncheon.
Yep.
And, you know, it's nice to be back in your closet.
I was thinking about that. It was, I think the first time we did this was back in 2004, and I look around and not much has changed in here.
Although there's less swag. You used to have more swag.
We used to have more swag, but, you know, you got to tone it down now.
You do?
Well, I do.
You know, you look very dressed up. You're wearing a vest.
I know.
You didn't have to get dressed on my account.
Well, I felt like I did.
You did?
I really did. Oh. Yeah, well, you're a big deal.
Yeah.
I know. Well.
Well.
I mean, like yesterday in Edmonton, today in Calgary, tomorrow in Vancouver, right?
And then Friday in Ottawa.
And Friday in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Just go.
It's good.
How was Edmonton?
Edmonton was great.
Was it?
Yeah. A lot of enthusiasm, obviously, about the Oilers.
Yes.
And the Ice District and the new arena is sensational. It was a good environment. It was fun to say.
One of the things we talked about today, you have seen and been exposed to more arena concepts and probably seen more. What is it about Edmonton or what is it about building an arena now that is so important, Gary?
How much has been learned?
Okay.
In terms of amenities, how the building flows, how technology works, how you move events in and out of the building, what it feels like to be a fan there, what the sight lines are. And what they did is, it was clear to me when I took a very detailed tour. Now, I had seen the plans and I had been there when it was under construction, but they looked, I think, at 40 different venues around the world, and they took the best of all of them.
Yeah.
They added some things of their own, and they put it together in a package that is extraordinary.
Did you get an update here while you've been in Calgary in terms of where we are at in terms of a new Flames facility?
Well, there's a process continuing, and I know the city and the Flames are talking to each other and meeting regularly. I met today for about an hour with the mayor, and you know, I tend to be an optimist by nature, and because everybody agrees there needs to be a new building, the future of any arena in Calgary for any purpose, not just hockey, but concerts and family shows, depends on it.
Yeah.
And so hopefully people get on the same page and get this done because it's essential.
You met the mayor last time. You met the mayor this time. Same conversation, different conversation.
Well, actually, last year when I was in town, I don't think I met with the mayor.
Oh, I thought you met with the mayor.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think he was busy that day or was out of town.
Oh, okay.
But no, we had
was it cordial?
Yes, very cordial.
Well, okay.
Why wouldn't it be cordial?
I don't know. You know, you've done this more than I. Sometimes
you look for the worst in situations.
No, that's not accurate.
It was
every
cordial.
Once in a
Listen,
while.
Listen, even if we didn't agree on everything,
right.
It still would be cordial.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing that I find crazy in this city is that, you know, this city's also exploring a 2026 Winter Olympics bid. And don't worry, kids, we'll get to that later. But, you know, they seem like projects that should be aligned and moving in the same direction, yet they aren't in a way. And that seems a little odd to me. You've been through this process. Does that seem odd to you? Or would you?
It's too easy to come in from the outside and say, you should do it. You know, in the final analysis, and to get more granular, there needs to be an understanding between the city and the Flames on a framework that works for both. Obviously, the Flames ownership isn't going to make a deal that doesn't make sense. The city isn't going to make a deal that it doesn't think makes sense. Hopefully, those two concepts will touch and overlap because it's too important. I mean, there's no question that there needs to be a new building because the long-term competitiveness, stability of the Flames, actually the long-term quality of life for people in Calgary, not just who are interested in hockey, depends on there being a new building.
He is Gary Bettman, Commissioner of the National Hockey League, our guest here on Flames.
I think that's
five.
The first time you said that. We've been talking this whole time. People might not have known.
No, they know you. Come on.
They know you.
They listen to
you every day.
Well, they do. And they listen to you because you're kind enough. You come in every year and we do this. I'm going to table the Olympics for a minute. We'll come back to that. What I want to talk about is one of the things that you brought up today is the celebration of the 100th anniversary of the National Hockey League, but you have referenced on a couple occasions looking forward.
Yes.
There's a lot of looking back that takes place on an anniversary, as there should be, but you have been talking about looking forward.
Well, that's because with the great history and tradition we have and the fact that we're extraordinarily proud that we're 100 years old. I mean, what's 100 years old that survives that test of time? And it's a testament to the great people associated with the game, whether it's players, off-ice people, fans, everybody who's been a part of this game for 100 years. But we've never been in better shape. And so it's great to reminisce, to honor the past.
Right.
But, hey, the future's going to be even better. And this is the beginning of the second 100 years.
Well, we had Brad Treliving in earlier this week, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, because last week at the GM's meetings, they went through a process of spitballing, talking about looking at the future, coming up with ideas. And he credited you. This was your idea that they should do this. Why? Why is it important for your leaders to look at where the game could be or could
well,
go or might go?
It starts with the basis that overwhelmingly all of our people, hockey people, think the game has never been better. And so what's the point in sitting around and talking about 20 little meaningless tweaks that you could do to the game now?
Right.
I mean, in your line of work, not you, but whether it's talk radio or a digital platform, social media, be, oh, let's change this, let's change that. Well, you know, it ain't broke. In fact, not only is it not broke, it's in really good shape. Our competitive balance is extraordinary. The speed, the skill, the unpredictability, the entertainment value of our game has been extraordinary. And so I said, you know what, let's take a few hours in smaller groups, since all the managers are together, and let's talk about how do you think the game will be played in 5 or 10 years?
Right.
What do you think, you know, will the players get bigger? What do we think could work better? How do we do flow? And what was interesting is, and I went from meeting to meeting, I had to in each case say, no, let's not focus on today, because general managers, because of the press of their jobs, tend to focus on the here and now.
Yeah.
And again, the consensus was game's in great shape. And here are a list of 30 or 40 things if we see a trend that we could adjust. And what was interesting about that is none of the things that were suggested were things that hadn't been discussed before. And so, you know, it was a good opportunity to reflect on the game and reflect on the health of the game and understand we have a bright future. And if we need to make some adjustments because we see things that are tending into the game that we don't like, then maybe we adjust them.
So what constitutes that, though, Gary? What point do you turn and go, maybe now is the time?
When you see something that you think is impeding or mitigating against the strengths of the game. You know, somebody said, and I'm not advocating this, but I'm just making, is the game overcoached, right?
Oh, I'm advocating that.
Okay. Well, I'm
no, you, I know you aren't, but yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
I like
okay.
that.
Okay, are there too many coaches behind the bench?
Yeah.
Is there, okay, that, you know, and maybe at some point we'll conclude it is. Our coaches are incredible. They do a great job. And the fact that anybody would even, like you suggested, is a testament to how good they are.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said, what do we do to, you know, reduce block shots, get more pucks to the net? And things like that that relate to, primarily to the flow of the game, how the game is played, and the safety of the game.
You're taking me to a really – and I have thought about this for a long time, and I really – I hope that this is something that's a little bit new in terms of the public conversation for you, and that is the future of not just hockey but sport in general. Perfection. We're always looking for perfection, yet you're talking about coaches. If you had a few less coaches, you'd have a few more mistakes, a few more scoring chances. That's exciting.
Right? And there's, you know, and there, the other extreme, somebody once said to me, you know, at the rate we're going with artificial intelligence, you won't have to play games. You'll just use an algorithm to decide them.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, because what sport represents is an opportunity for people from all walks of life to come together with a communal spirit to root for their favorite team and to see the excitement of the moment. But so, you know, you want to be very holistic, if you will, about preserving what's great about sport.
But are you up against, you know, technology in that way? Your communal aspect of sport, we all agree that's what brought us to the sport. But is that going to be there in perpetuity?
Yeah.
Or is society shifting, society changing, that we might go away from that?
No, actually, I think you know, people your age and my age, because we're old, we've aged here
together. We have, indeed.
we're not we're no longer typical. What we have to do is make sure that the game is appealing to millennials and Gen Z,
right?
Young people whose attention spans have been reduced. But that's really, I think, great for us because we give the most action in the time frame that it takes to play a game of the major sports. We have the most nonstop action. We're the most exciting. We're the most edgy. So as it relates to evolving our next generation of fans, I think we're in a great spot.
And I would defer to you in this because my assumption is you would have access to more information and studies than I would, but I have seen a few in my business on the radio side that scare me, that kids nowadays don't view themselves as diehard sports fans in the same numbers as they used to when you and I were young, that other things are taking that away. That's what worries me, Gary. Do you worry about that?
We focus on it. There's an opportunity for begin. If you look at the amount of action there is in the 2 hours and 30 minutes that our game is played, and you look at, you know, an NFL game which can run 3 hours and 11 minutes of action, I like the way we're paused for a generation that has lots of distractions and multitasks. And I think technology, whether it's HDTV or what we do with streaming our products and second screen experiences, I think this has been a great opportunity to connect fans with the game in more ways than ever before.
Right.
And to bring new fans to the game.
Have you spent much time looking at what's going on in esports? And the reason I ask, you do.
Well, I'm aware of it.
Okay. So. The reason I ask the question is recently the National Basketball Association announced that they would be running a professional e-league with their video game.
Yeah.
Is that something that could come into the National Hockey League?
It's actually something I've been talking about to our people and our game manufacturer for more than a year.
Really?
Okay. But what we envision and how we think it work hasn't been invented yet. But we're talking to video game providers to see if we can come up with something. You know, playing a single-player shoot-'em-up game isn't what I have in mind.
No.
I envision something where people come together and create teams.
Would they be professional teams? Would they be?
No, I think this is for fans.
Okay.
I'm not looking to start another league of professionals. I'm looking to do something that fans would find fun and entertaining and, again, connect them to our game.
Then you can answer me this question because obviously you're a lot further along than this than I am. Is that world conducive to the hockey world? Can the people who would or would you be looking at bringing people who are esports fans and living in, you know, Twitch and things like that, would they be coming to hockey? Are you trying to recruit that one?
I'm trying to create, we are all, not just me, all the people that work at the league office and the clubs and our players, we're trying to create the best experience possible, because what younger people, millennials, Gen Z, focus on is an experience. And we want to have the most compelling experience possible.
How do they consume the sport?
Who?
Well, millennials, Generation Z.
Also, not necessarily the way we do.
No, I know. Yeah.
Not on a big screen. They'll do it on their phones. They'll look at multiple games. They'll look at highlights. But, you know, the more compelling our game is, the more they're going to watch it.
Do you lead or do you have companies coming to you and proposing? You know what I'm saying?
Do you do both. We do, eh? Our new chief marketing officer, Heidi Browning, comes to us from Pandora.
Okay.
She was head of strategic planning in the Silicon Valley for Pandora, and this is her sweet spot, and she's well-connected, so when there are new developments on the digital platforms and social media, we're pretty well informed.
Excited about it? Challenged by it? How would you view your outlook on it?
I view it as opportunities to continue to grow and to continue to connect. Because it's not just esports. The whole notion of doing all-access shows, right? That's to give our fans more insight into the game and to have a more compelling experience to understand more of what's going on the game. It's interesting. I had Heidi actually present to the general managers because I want them to understand why we do some of the things we do. And they were intrigued as a group in terms of what she was having to say and how people in different demographic groups, whether it's baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, or Gen Zs, how they interact with society and with sports differently.
He's Gary Bettman, Commissioner of the National Hockey League, our guest here in the Hot Stove Lounge, Flames at 5 for Pete DePlumber. This is where I think sometimes it gets a little dicey because, okay, behind-the-scenes programming. Oh, Let's talk about Las Vegas then, because they're going to announce a new team, and there's a lot of talk right now, and we have this conversation today, about the protected list and general manager. That seems to me like a place that you could, you know, people could consume the sport in a different way.
Well, perhaps, but on this one, we really need to get the sense of the clubs and what they want. Mm-hmm. This isn't us throwing a lightning bolt saying this is the edict. If the clubs are telling us they're not comfortable making their list public because they don't want the players on their team to know who was protected and who wasn't, they do have a team to run. There are competitive things at stake. There are people's feelings in terms of the chemistry of a club they have to deal with. And if overwhelmingly the clubs don't want to make it public, I think I may respect that. We haven't made a final decision, but we want to make sure, first and foremost, that we do the right thing for the players and the clubs who have to play the game.
So earlier today, you and I had kind of a fascinating conversation, I thought anyway, about the consumption of the sport. How do you view, because I've never asked you, how do you view the coverage of trade deadline? How do you view the coverage of July 1st? This radio station does very well just blocking off that whole day and focusing completely on that. As the commissioner of the National Hockey League, how do you view those types of events?
I think they're exciting. I think it's fun for fans. The notion of what trade, you know, might happen that might cause a team to make the playoffs or run for it all, versus what teams have concluded that they can't do it anymore and they've got to build for the future. That's a little, well, it sounds analogous to what we were talking about on the expansion draft.
Right.
It's different.
Okay.
Because you what you don't know is what players have been discussed that never saw the light of day in a trade because a trade never got consummated.
Right.
Here the issue is, and for the expansion draft and the protected list, teams have to make some decisions about their players, and the question is whether or not they're comfortable letting people that inside to the thought process of how their team is run.
It could, but you would admit, could make compelling television.
It could. Well, it'll certainly make for days of speculation and talk. But again, if it damages the chemistry of a team, if it damages the psyche of certain players so that it hurts their performance, if it damages the relationship between a player and a team, I can understand the concern. If that's a concern that the managers, that the teams have, we may decide to respect that. You know, if three teams feel that way and 27 say we're fine, then it's easy to make the decision.
Right. Right. You have.
Everything we do, whether it's technology, whether it's marketing or promotion, it all starts with the game, and that has to work right. And our clubs have to be in a position to compete effectively. And I don't want to do anything that undermines what they believe they need to do to accomplish that goal.
Generally, overall, satisfied with how things have gone in Las Vegas. We had George McPhee on yesterday. It was a fascinating conversation. I just love the idea of building something from scratch. Right?
What an incredible... Listen, we talk about building from scratch. Something like 6,000 people showed up at an event in Las Vegas at night to just announce the team's name. Yeah. The people in Vegas are excited that they're getting their first professional sports team, that they're getting a hockey team, and that it's all theirs. It'll be their identity.
This might be a clumsy segue, but one of the things that I really wanted to talk to you about today, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I just want to ask the question. Do you, as the commissioner of the National Hockey League, view yourself as a steward of the game of hockey, or do you see yourself as just a steward of the National Hockey League in the clubs?
No, I am mindful of the fact that what we do, excuse me, what we do influences hockey at all levels. We have important relationships with not just the IIHF, but with Hockey Canada and USA Hockey.
Yep.
We take an interest in grassroots hockey at all levels. Many of our clubs have inner-city programs to introduce young people to the game. We have Hockey is for Everyone. Mm-hmm. We have You Can Play. We can have, you know, Try It programs. I mean, we reach out to all levels, as do our clubs, because... Not just because we're looking for fans and just because we're looking to develop players. We believe as a league, and our clubs believe this as well, that sports can be a platform for important community and life messages. And to use the discipline of our game, the teamwork concept, the working together, physical fitness, and instill that in young people, those are life lessons. And I think it's incumbent on sports to use the high profile, the platforms we have, to deliver those life lessons.
Is that more important now than maybe it was when you started in the position? Is that come around?
No, because when I started in the position, we've always had programs. You know, you go back to ice hockey in Harlem.
Yes.
You go back to Hockey Fights Cancer.
Yep.
You go back to our greening movements. I think it gets, for a variety of reasons, more attention than it ever has before. Mm. But this is something that we've always been committed to. And although the research tells you that millennials and Gen Zs find it more important for places that they either work for or products that they consume or entities that they interact with.
Right.
But I think part of that is all of this is getting more attention, but it's something that has always been important to us.
Your athletes are all male. What about the female game? And I understand there's a story today, and I'm not asking specifically about that. We just had a very successful Clarkson Cup here in Canada with the Calgary Inferno involved. How do you view the women's growth of the women's game and the NHL support?
The NHL has always been supportive. There was a point in time where, because only the U.S. and Canadian teams were competitive, the IIHF was thinking about removing them from the Olympics, and we made it clear that that would not be acceptable. We've been of some assistance, consulting and otherwise, a little financially, with the two women's leagues.
Right.
I have concerns as to the model of how those leagues are working, and they know that, and we've discussed it. But I think the women's game is important. We actually did our own research. I had a white paper prepared by the former commissioner of the Women's Basketball League.
Yes.
In terms of the viability of us starting a league as well. And under the right circumstances and at the right time, that's something we might even consider doing. But I think it's important that women have an outlet to play professionally our game, and I think I can't overstate the importance of having role models for young girls who want to play the game.
He is the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, our guest here on Flames at 5 for Pete DePlummer. A couple of things that are in the news. One is the Olympics, and you know, I asked the question about the stewardship of the game because I think I am one of these people that sometimes equates the Olympics and having best on best as being important, that you know, that the best players should be there. It's just how I feel. You have a job to do, and you have people you have to answer to. Is there does being a steward of the game have any part of the conversation when it comes to Olympic hockey?
Sure, but at the end of the day, what has to be focused on is the fact that, first of all, there is best on best. We just did a World Cup, which is competitively was better than any Olympics anybody's seen in modern times. Our rules, 177 or so of the 183 players were NHL players. Our officials, our ice, and the competition was extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
But the Olympics, we like the Olympics. We don't like how disruptive it is to our season. And our first and foremost obligation is to our fans and to put on a competitive season. And taking off 17 days to go halfway around the world and not get a whole lot of coverage at a meaningful time. The games in Korea will be, you know, broadcast Eastern time, so 2 hours earlier than we're about to say.
Right.
At 7:30 in the morning, at noon, and at 2:30 in the morning. To give up our season and the flow of our season, to have teams dismantled, to have, you know, streaks stopped, momentum stopped, to have some NHL teams send a dozen players and some send one or two, and then have teams come back, some banged up, some tired, some fully rested, and to do it when there's no football and there's no baseball, it's really just us and basketball, and to get really no benefit of it. And I'm not talking about compensation. We can't market or promote that we're there. We're just there. And the IOC and the IIHF seem to be of the opinion that we should just be there and whatever it takes, it takes. And they even went through a stretch where they said, unlike in the last five Olympics, they didn't even want to pay our expenses, which are substantial. This whole concept of shutting down after five Olympics and seeing its impact, I think, to say the least, our clubs are somewhere combined or between fatigued and negative.
With respect to that, Will, can you get the Al Morganti question? It's so often I think of everything through my own lens and how I view it. And we're very fortunate. We've got Eric Dachuk and Al Morganti join us every week. And I asked them for a question for you. And Al had a very interesting question that I want to ask because I would have never asked this question. Will, can you play it for the commissioner?
I would like a real honest answer. And what tangible evidence is there? What concrete evidence do you have that participating in the Olympics has improved the National Hockey League?
None.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the TV ratings, and Al, I think, still lives in Philadelphia.
He does, yep.
There was an Olympics where I think the Flyers were in first place. They sent 10 or 12 players to the Olympics, and then they didn't make the playoffs that year. That they were so banged up when they came back. There has been, let me modify the none. Certainly in North America, it hasn't had any impact. And we look at TV ratings, mm-hmm. we look at attendance, we look at everything, and it's been disruptive. Is it conceivable that in some places around the world where they're watching the Olympics, it might have a positive impact? I suppose, but I think back to when we went to Nagano, Japan, the building that we played the event in, the day after the Olympics were over, they ripped out the ice. In terms of what the NHL is and what we owe to our fans as the season gets disrupted.
Is that the part in this argument, Gary? I mean,
But let's pause.
Okay.
But we don't even get the opportunity to promote the fact that we're at the Olympics. We don't get to use the ring. You know, I've said to the IOC, Coca-Cola is a sponsor. They get to promote their association and say, proud sponsor of the Olympics. They won't let us do that.
Right.
And we lend or would lend player contracts worth something like $3.5 billion for those 17 days. There's no recognition of the value by the IOC and the IIHF that we bring to the Olympics. I understand why the Olympics want us there.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of hours of TV programming in the Winter Olympics, in terms of most number of tickets sold for a sport in the Winter Olympics, hockey dominates.
Yeah. Is there a different feeling on either side of the border in this country? In this game, I should say, in Canada versus the United States. I mean, in Canada, it seems a very passionate,
Only when Canada does well. When Czech played Russia in 98, not too many people were watching.
No, but we wanted to go back.
Well,
we didn't watch that. Yeah, we didn't watch 1906. We could care less, but we wanted to go back, right?
Well, but in terms of interest, it's very team performance related.
Oh, yeah.
And so, if you go and you shut down for 17 days and the U.S. and Canadian teams don't have a particularly good run,
right,
the level of interest for which we've given up 17 days. And by the way, the world has changed since we started going. Having our own network, having our own website, all of the things that we do with our fans, social media on a daily basis, poof, we disappear. Because the IOC doesn't let us do anything.
Yeah, well, I don't think you disappear. We talk about you.
You talk about how much you miss us.
No, I don't. I talk about how great these games are, the best players, and Sidney Crosby.
Didn't you like the World Cup? It was awesome.
Loved the World Cup.
Oh, stop. You don't have to say anything more.
Yeah, except that, come on now, you have to admit it. It at the end there, it felt like it was going on a little, like everybody just kind of wanted that final series over.
Well, that was.
Well, okay, you want? I'll give you this.
Because there was no natural constituency for the European team.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But competitively, it was extraordinary. If Canada had played U.S. in the gold medal game, if Canada had played North America.
No, that's the one I wanted.
Okay. It was
that
close.
That's the one I wanted.
That was pretty fun.
That was phenomenal. But you sat there last year, and I told you it was going to be good. And you said it was going to be good. We both agreed on that.
But there were a lot of skeptics.
Yeah, there always are. Before I let you go, This one gets brought up all the time. Quebec City, Toronto, Canada, can we have another team, please?
Not right now.
Okay.
I think, you know, we've given Las Vegas as deep an expansion draft as we've ever done. There wasn't an appetite for doing two. There were Canadian dollar considerations.
Mm-hmm.
There were alignment considerations. Not possible right now, based on our geography, to put another team in the East. The good news in Toronto is you've got a team that's playing better than it has in years, and I think that enthusiasm would drown out any possibility of any other team. I'm not a big fan of multi-teams in the same market, and you know, we respect profoundly the interest in the game in Quebec City, but the timing wasn't right.
Timing wasn't right.
Yeah, doesn't mean timing will be at some point. Doesn't mean it won't be, but they're still on the radar screen.
Oh, that mean there's somebody's moving, right?
Nobody's
moving. I know that. I'm just making light of the situation.
No, but people might not see your facial expression realize you were being sarcastic.
I am very sarcastic. The last thing I want to do is give you the opportunity.
I thought that was the last thing. You said
I said I was wrapping up. Oh, I didn't say it was the last thing. I said I was wrapping up. I want to give you the opportunity. You had a good... You know, a little pushback today. A little pushback. You're not happy with us? I mean, the collective we, my peers, the media right now?
No. I'm thrilled with the coverage we get.
Are you?
Yeah. I don't have any. I like responsible reporting and journalism. Part of what we were doing in terms of the pushback
was for effect.
It was fun and entertainment.
Yeah.
Right?
But I want to do this because we went around the mulberry bush on the enhanced stats, and I asked you about the salary information, and then
what happened?
In fairness to you, I want to say this because I have in the past disagreed with you on this. I said, okay, ladies and gentlemen,
plus,
in this room,
how many people were in the room? About 300,
right?
Okay,
and I said, how many in this room in the last month or two since the trade deadline have gone to capgeek.com? Raise your hands.
Maybe four. Maybe four people, because that's not what people are interested in. I know it makes for good talk, and I know it makes for good coverage. People are interested in how marvelous our players are and what they're going to do on the ice. People come into the game tonight, want to see if the Flames are going to set a winning streak record. They want to see how Boston's doing under its new coach, and they couldn't care right now what the cap situation is. They want to see great hockey.
Would it have been different if I brought in millennials and Gen Zs?
Probably not.
I disagree. Oh, did I say that again? You know what you are? You're the best. Always appreciate our conversation. It's always great and good to see you in Canada, and I hope you have a good time in Vancouver. Again, I apologize for having to go to Edmonton, but there's nothing I can do about that.
You don't need to take a shot at them. First of all,
why?
It's always great to be with you.
Yes.
I enjoy very much being in Calgary and watching the Flames play in person. But you got to do something about this closet. You've been in here for 20 years in the basement. You need some daylight.
I got it. Didn't you see our window? We put in a window up there. Gary, as always, appreciate the time.
Great to be with you.
Gary Bettman, Commissioner of the National Hockey League.